Today, on Commitment to Truth.
The tension in the church is this, because we're still encased in this flesh, we still have worldly responsibilities that we have to press into. The tendency is to get it confused. I don't need to be planted by rivers of water. I can just supplant myself and just do whatever I wanted to do. But then what happens is we become fruitless. So there's this responsibility of this continually drinking of God's goodness. We will remain men and women who are useful, well-placed, fit in Him. And serving just helps that.
Welcome to Commitment to Truth, the teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. Each week, Pastor Cedric Brown and the pastoral team at Commitment Church strive to draw you into a deeper relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This week, we'll continue a sermon series titled, Your Good Works, a work especially prepared by God. In this series, our pastoral team will encourage the body of Christ to understand that there are good works God has prepared for them, while creating the space for those who respond to confidently walk in them. Here is Pastor Cedric, lead pastor of Commitment Church, with today's message.
All right, so in the book of Hebrews, we've kind of landed on last week that many people would say that the author is unknown, but I've kind of landed on the author being the Apostle Paul because of his direct mention of his son in faith by the name of Timothy. But in this book, we've established that he was writing to Jewish believers enduring persecution under who was called Nero prior to the destruction of the temple. And because of this, many of the people were growing spiritually unwilling to grow. They were, if you were discouraged, like many of us can become when we're under persecution, frustration, things aren't going right. You begin to grow frustrated, your light begins to dim out. And because of this, many of them were potentially missing out on what God had in store for them as his people. Because of these hard times, they were even considering bailing out on the faith, going back to the Jewish way of doing things with all the rituals and what we have heard the author speak of as the elementary things of the faith. And why is that important to understand historically? It's because we have that same kind of behavior, right? When tough times come, persecution happens in our lives, real tensions begin to occur, the human tendency, sinful tendency, is to go back to what has been comfortable. Remember even the children of Israel when they were escorted out of slavery, right? They were willing, when they couldn't get water when they wanted, wasn't like they weren't getting water, wasn't getting water, right? When they couldn't get food when they wanted, or the type of food they wanted, they thought it would be better to go back to slavery. Who in their right mind would even consider doing something like that, right? But that is the inherent sin nature of man, is that, well, back then it was cool hanging out with my boys, hanging out with my girls. I didn't have all the pressure, right, of trying to be holy and all these different things. So let me just go back to normal, right? So our challenge is that we have to know this about ourselves, be aware that this is our sinful tendency, the sinful tendency of man because of the fall of man, right, is to inherently go back to what has been in our minds easy to deal with, even though it is what has separated us from a holy God. In our mind, it is easier to just not love my wife and have all this concern about treating her as Christ loved the church and gave his very life for her, right? You know, it's easier to just kick my kids out of the house, not deal with ramifications, right? There's a lot of easy routes to take, but God doesn't give us the easy route because he has called us to be separate, holy, different, peculiar people, and so forth, right? So our challenge is to understand that God has given us a tool, I believe, for us to navigate difficult times. And you know what it is? Servitude. It's weird because that is one of the first things that go away, right? I'm being pressured with time, so the first block of time I cut out is servitude. Right, not sleep, Not let me talk to my family to better manage my time. Not even talk to myself to say, what am I even doing with time, right? Not going back to my employer and negotiating time. But it's the first thing I do is like, I don't have to talk to God directly. I don't have to have a one-on-one face-to-face meeting with God, we think. So I just cut time away from him, right? So servitude is that, to me, I believe that life raft, that privilege God gives us to be co-laborers with him, make an impact in other people's lives, do this wonderful good work, kingdom work that he's called us to do. And I believe it is that wonderful tool that he allows us to be strengthened in the journey of Nero's. When you're not being treated fairly on the job, when you have to go through difficult seasons in your family, right, in life, that happens to all of us. If we get in the game, it allows us to somehow supernaturally stay focused on him. Remember we talked about last week? Continue to drive away from it. It's there. Continue to drive away from it, and then you start looking in your rearview mirror. That thing that is there begins to be what? Smaller, 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 less effective in your life. But our tendency is to just stay there and park, keep looking back, and that thing looks huge, look like it's coming at us, right? Remember the mirror, it says those things appear further than they really are. You know, and so we begin to be deceived by those things in our lives that trap us. And that's why in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, the author says, press on to maturity. But we also disclose, and this is important just to kind of relay this foundation, prior to chapter 6, right, even prior to chapter 6, and in the middle of chapter 6 as well, you have this clear description of Christ, the ultimate servant, the ultimate sacrifice. And then he inserts these principles, if you would, of behavior. That these are some behavior traits of people who work through elementary thing and find themselves like chapter 11, where we find the servant heroes, the heroes of the faith. Make sense? So like them, we have to be men and women who understand that we have to serve our way through our trials, our persecution, our frustration, because it benefits us greatly. So if you can turn with me again to Hebrews chapter 6. And we've been in verses 1 through 12 in this part of our series, again, Your Good Works. Hebrews chapter 6. And I've been defining for you a few ways that serving benefits you. I gave you two, and I review them with you real quickly as you're turning there. The first we identified is that serving matures you. It helps you leave those elementary things. Remember, we kind of even define elementary things as this. Why does God continually have to tell us to deal with that, whatever that is? Right? It's like, come on, Cedric, I told you need to control this. Why do I have to continue to repeat this to you over and over and over again? You should be mature in this by now, right? And that's relative to each person in this room. It could be the way you treat your wife, the way you respect your husband, the way you treat your kids and raise your kids. It could be how you respond to your parents, because remember, he says to us in the scriptures, honor your father and your mother. Didn't say if your father was good. Didn't say if your father was known. Didn't say if your mother was good. Didn't say if you knew your mother or not. Didn't say if you were adopted. Didn't say if you had a wonderful nuclear family. He didn't say any of that. He says, if you have a mom or dad, and everybody in this room today has a mom and dad, known or unknown, like them or don't like them, he says, honor them. So why do I keep having to tell you to honor them? It becomes elementary. Make sense? But then we also uncovered that in verses one, latter part of verse 1 through 3, is that serving somehow builds us. It begins to build upon the foundation, and that foundation is whom? Christ. The foundation of your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we need to continue to be able to be built up. That needs to be built upon. when you sit in sermons, when you have Bible studies and engage groups and small group settings, right? Whenever a pastor or teacher's up front, they should be building upon a foundation that was laid by whom? Christ and Christ alone. Makes sense? This serving benefits you. Now, let me flesh that out a little bit more. Here's the beauty of servitude. When you only have the responsibility of self, there's no need to even grow and mature or build upon what you have. If the only concern you have is self, you're not even going to consider praying all the more. You follow me? It's just like, hey, I'm just going to get on my knees, pray for me, my family, and our stuff. Then it becomes selfishness. But when you go outside of yourself, outside of your family, then the weird thing that happens is, I say supernatural thing that happens, is that God starts bringing other people to mind. Their needs start entering your prayer closet. You ever been there? Right? Now here's a weird one. Let's say God gifts you and gives you a responsibility to teach or lead. Right? It's kind of like, well, up until this point, I had no consideration of anyone. All I need to do is just show up to the Bible study. Now, what are you telling me? Now I got to sit, pray, ask God what I should say, how I should say it, be sensitive to other people's needs, don't offend, bring life, not death. And now all these things is like flooding in your soul that you now we need to humble ourselves before God and say, God, this is too big for me. I need your help. Building process starts to happen. If your only congregation is social media, it's just you spurting out words. But when it becomes relational, that you hear of a person's family member passing away, a person's need begin to happen, it does something to the soul. He continues to build upon what he has laid. Makes sense. Thus, the importance of serving alongside someone. You may not even be the leader and the person who's responsible, to organize. But when you serve alongside someone, their face is sketched in your heart. You serve alongside no one, you have no face in your heart. Is it making sense? So he builds upon it as you serve. Now, here's number three, found in verses 4-6. And please, I encourage you, read the entire book of Hebrews. All right? It says this in verses 4-6. For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good works of God and the power of the age to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they again crucified to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. Let me say it this way. Serving protects you. It has a unique way of protecting you. Let's drill down on this. It says, once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift. You can even say it this way. Once been enlightened and once have tasted of the heavenly gift. So let's start with the first. Once have been enlightened. It means this. Once been enlightened spiritually, once imbued or filled or impregnated with saving knowledge. Verse 4 also gives us another word. Once you have tasted or enjoyed or partaken or experienced of this heavenly gift. The word heavenly means this. Once, and blended it all together for us. Once you have tasted of the things that take place in heaven, once you've tasted of heaven itself, or once you've tasted of the abode of God and angels, you just can't fall away. You just can't. We can act stupid every now and then because that's just who we are. You know, we the sin nature, that's we just crazy sometimes and just respond inappropriately, right? So let's go further in verse 5. So, or if you have tasted, again, have enjoyed or partaken or experienced the good word of God and the powers of God, two important words here. It says the word good means if you've tasted the good word, the excellent, choice, precious, useful, or suitable word. The word powers means this, the power of performing miracles, moral power, excellence of soul, the armies, forces of the host. So it's almost like saying, listen, once you practically taste the word of God, apply it to your life and see the transformational work of God, you just can't walk away from it. Right? But truth be told, in the body of Christ, broadly speaking, there's some wrong meals at the table. Inappropriate seasoning, inappropriate meat that's being served. So chances are one will fall away. Or let's say that one is malnutrition. You're still on the on the milk of the word. Absolutely. It's very easy to say, well, now, you know, I'm becoming a man. Now I have a taste for this. Milk is a little boring over time. So I go experimenting. But if you go from milk to the meat, you can't fall away. It's kind of like once you get your taste buds, right, enjoying something, it's like I could have diabetes, I could have, right, all kinds of physical illness, and I'm still going back for that fried chicken. And you know the doctor said you keep eating fried chicken, you're going to die. You keep eating that rice and beans and all that starch, you're going to die. But something on the inside craves it, craves it, craves it, craves it, craves it. You follow me? Once you taste even those things that aren't God, the sinful tendency is to be drawn back to that. So the importance is to become men and women who are of the word, that we're studying to show ourselves proved unto God, workmen who need not be in ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And you would then make sure that you are receiving the good word of God, that word that is excellent, choice, precious, useful, suitable, right? That's why Philippians 4 tells us to think on those things that are what? Holy and just, of good reputation. The only thing you can find that is holy and just, of good reputation, is the authority of the word of God. Amen. Not our own thinking. You follow me, church? Not your own thinking. Not our own opinion. But is what is written. Because it's the very heart and mind of God. And it's beautiful because this, then you have this manifestation of what he does. Listen, think about this. How many times when you feel like throwing in a towel, that God by his grace reminds you of the miracles? Remember what he says to the children of Israel over and over again. And I encourage you, go back and do like a Old Testament study in Isaiah, Jeremiah, something like that, and see how many times he tells them, remember. Remember what I did. Remember what I did. Because I did it then, I can do it. So why are you running away? Why are you running away when times get tough? Aren't I the same God that delivered you from yourself? Right? Aren't I the God who sent him to you and you said you loved him? But now because it's getting complex, you're saying, I'm done? Right? Now again, remember, I'm not trying to guilt someone because maybe you're on marriage too. But get marriage too right. Yes. Hallelujah. You follow me? Because the common denominator you'll find will be you. I mean, he provides grace, right? He provides grace, and we fail and make silly mistakes and silly decisions and things like that. He knows that. He knows who he created, church. But the key is to learn and grow and realize he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he doesn't shift, and there's no variation. And he's not like the shadow that shifts throughout the day. When you see him, you see him. When you know him, you know him. And that's what this text is really trying to convey to us today. Amen? So then it says in verse 6, and then have fallen away, and then have deviated from the right path, turned aside, wandered, erred, or have fallen away from the truth or the true faith from worship of Jehovah God. So, again, what it's almost like saying to us, you know how much sometimes someone says something, but they're really also trying to say this to you? It's like if you check this box and check this box and check this box and check this box, you won't fall away. You won't. That's why in 1 Peter it talks about if it gives the it gives and resembles the fruit of the Spirit. And it says, if you do this, you do this, you do this, and you do this, if this be added to your faith, if this be added to and this be added, he says, you will never fall. Now, the truth is, we fall, right? It's because it's not added daily. We choose not to exercise faith. We choose not to love. We choose not. And then we fall. So it has nothing to do with the principles of God, right? It has to do with our desire to live it out. And that's why when you look at this text, it's saying, man, you know what? If you have tasted and been enlightened, and if you experience the heavenly gift, the good word of God, the power of God in your life, and then you fall away? What did you even believe from the beginning? Because we shouldn't be surprised when trials come upon us, because they perfect our faith. That's why if you listen to, let me read this to you, this Hebrews 6, verse 6 in the Amplified text. It says this, and then have fallen away, it is impossible. So if you one has fallen away, say, it is impossible to bring them back again to repentance, since they again nailed the Son of God on the cross. For as far as they are concerned, they are treating the death of Christ as if they were not saved by it, and are holding him up again to public disgrace. Remember Paul told the church, should you keep on sinning so that grace may abound? Same relevance here. It says, may it never be that way. So when we go through trials, remember, he has given us so much to protect us, but the beauty of servitude is that when you study the text comes alive as you serve. You can't study the text by yourself and don't apply the text, because you start developing your own commentary of the text. And chances are it's wrong, because that's not how God has created us to study the text. The text is to be studied personally, community, applied personally, community. That's the way the text is supposed to be used. The text is affirmed that way. And it will protect us. Make sense? Number 4, we find in verses 7 through 8, it says, For ground that drinks the rain, which often falls on it and produces vegetation useful to those who those whose sake it is also tilled, receives a blessing from God. But if it yields thorns and thistles, it is worthless and close to be cursed, and it ends up being burned. Servitude protects you. Servitude keeps you useful. For that ground drinks the rain which often falls on it, and then it produces what? Vegetation. But there's some who forsake it and is also tilled. The word produces here means bring forth fruit or yields. Useful, it simply means this: well placed and you are fit. Remember the scripture says in 1 Corinthians that he has placed us in the body just as he wills. If you're not useful ground, right, hardened ground, rain cannot soak into it, right? Water, I mean, that's what happens so many times. You have floods. That's what happened in the South. There was no rain, ground's hard. The water just passes right over it. Until the flood comes, and then over time, what happens? The ground opens up to receive the water. Sounds familiar? Hard. No. I'm not receiving anything. And then floods come, whoo, overtakes you. It has to sit for a little while. Soil softens up. Water soaks in. Gives you great nutrients. And then what happens? Stuff starts to grow and being replenished. Similar to the hardness of our hearts. We are placed in a body. We have to be useful people, fit people. Thus, it took me back to a familiar psalm, Psalm 1, verse 1 through 3. Blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. And then he'll be what? Like a tree planted by rivers of water, right? Yielding its fruit in its season, and your leaves do not wither. And whatever you do, the tension in the church is this, because we're still encased in this flesh, we still have worldly responsibilities that we have to press into. The tendency is to get it confused and think that I don't need to be planted by rivers of water. I can just supplant myself and just do whatever, however I wanted to do. But then what happens is we become fruitless. We become stale, kind of like, what's going on? Nothing's happening. What's happening in my ministry? Got to find that water source, man. And do you realize roots? Next time you go by a river and a bunch of trees, see how the roots, you know what they do? They follow where the water is. So symbolism, super important, that instinctively the roots of trees follow water source. That's why many of you, if you're plumbers, you know, if you're a plumber, you find roots growing into pipes because they're going to find water somewhere. Roots die, tree dies. Root has no water, has no life, tree dies, no fruit. So there's this responsibility of this continually drinking of God's goodness. We will remain men and women who are useful, well-placed, fit in him. And serving just helps that. Lastly, you find in verses 9 through 12, but beloved, we're convinced of better things regarding you and things that accompany salvation, even though we are speaking in this way. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name. By having served and by still serving the saints, and we desire that each one of you demonstrate the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you would not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and endurance inherit the promise. You see, truth be told, there be some of us in this room today who serve. We can't forget that you are demonstrating something to others. You can't become sluggish. Very easy to say, I've been doing this for so long, and then you become sluggish. Don't put in effort. Right? And so this is such a danger zone in the body of Christ. It's because we can have, and please understand the context in which I'm saying this. We can have so much Jesus that it's to our detriment. And what I mean by that is you can have so much of him in here, it's to your detriment. Well, I know, and you know everything. And nobody can tell you anything because you got an answer for everything. Yeah, I know. Finishing sentences, maybe verbally, some let it out verbally, some hold it in, but we're still, I'm the kind of hold it in kind of guy, you know, but I'm still saying it while it's on the inside. You know, you who are like me, you understand what I'm saying, is that you're still finishing the sentence, but it's on the inside you're finishing the sentence. And no matter what, before God, you're finishing the sentence. Right, some of us just don't have that control to be like, I'm just going to say it anyway, you know. And that's the cool thing about the body of Christ. We're all different. So, but the truth in it all is that we can serve, we can get good at it, we can be skillful at it, we can be gifted at it, we could be doing it for a while, and forget we are a privileged example to all. And we can forget that at any moment, he could pull the plug. Because it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by spirit, saith the Lord. He's the one who gives us the ability to think, reason, do, live, breathe, everything, church. Right? So there is the tendency that begins to occur is that we do, and then this sluggishness begins to occur. It's kind of like, I'm just winging it. I don't have to study hard because, hey, you know, I know how to exegete the scriptures. I know how to get there. And it's just, let me just throw it all together. That's sluggishness. And there's caution in that. Because, so it's caution in not, you know, not forgetting in, it's not by my might, it's not by my power, it's by a spirit, and I need to humbly walk in this example. Number two, what I can't forget is I can't just start being lackluster and just because I have developed skills, I have inherent knowledge, I have knowledge that has been acquired over time, and then I can just perform the task. But yet, really, it's a spiritual sluggishness. Therefore, I can't forget that I'm the example. Show the same diligence, verse 11. The word show means this, point out, prove, put forth, demonstrate the same diligence. You could say same meaning, same then, same now. Same when I was a baby Christian, buying all these books, trying to figure this thing out. Same now that the books on my shelf was accumulating dust and triggers my allergies now. You follow what I'm saying? It's same diligence. Same in season, same out of season. Same when things are good and when things are bad. Same when the Neros show up. And same when you're living at peace and the wall is built. Same when you have children when it was when you didn't have children. Same when you were praying and pleading God for a husband for when now you have a husband. Same diligence. The word imitators, Merriam-Webster defines it as a follower, a person who adopts the appearance or behavior of another, especially in an obvious way. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 to 32, and then skip into verse 1, it says this: therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all things for the glory of God. That's really kind of saying, you know what? You better bet your bottom dollar that everything you do, you should not be sluggish in it, because you represent the King. Do not offend Jews or Greeks or the church. In other words, live at peace with all men. It's like, come on now, you're representing the King. Or you can say, let me kind of prepare us for November what? 5th? Whatever election is. Church, no matter if you're Democrat, Republican, or independent, understand who you're representing. You follow what I'm saying? We can't be a church that is like, I'm for Paul or Apollos, even in a secular sense. We're for Christ and Christ alone, period. Just as I also please everyone in all things, not seeking my own benefit, but the benefit of the many, so that they may be what? Skip to verse 1. Be imitators of me. This is Paul is saying this to the church. Just as I also am of whom. So it's really saying, look through me to see whom? Christ. So anyone around you should be looking through you as you're serving the King of Kings, as you're representing the King of Kings, and you're doing this kingdom work, they should be looking through you and seeing who? Jesus. And that is a privilege. Servitude makes him known. Thus, there's this urgency to say, I need to be doing something to make him known. Let me end with this. During the American Revolution, a man in civilian clothes, he rode his horse up and saw up to this group of soldiers that were constructing a barrier, defense barrier, during this war. Their leader, who was amongst them, was shouting instructions, but made no attempt to lend a hand with his men. So the writer asked, why aren't you helping? Why aren't you helping your men? Well, this guy responded this way with great dignity: sir, I'm a corporal. So the stranger apologized. He dismounted and began to proceed to help the soldiers. He helped the soldiers until the job was completed. And the stranger turned to the corporal and said these words: Mr. Corporal, next time you have a job like this and not enough men to do it, go to your commander in chief and I will come and help you again. What he didn't realize, he was speaking to the George Washington, who dismounted, worked alongside his men, finished the job. So there's two things I want to give you today. First is this: like George Washington, you don't need permission. You don't need permission to serve a holy God. Show me somewhere in the text that it says you need permission. You don't need permission to serve a holy and just and righteous God, especially if you're riding by on your horse and you're seeing needs that are quite evident. You don't need permission. You don't need permission. Right? So your responsibility, if this fits your description, if you're George Washington, right, is get off your high horse, roll up your sleeves, and start helping build a wall. Just as simple as that. Right? Because what happens in the church? Oh, well, you know, okay, all right, well, you know, I don't want to offend. Offend who? Me? Who am I? Offend someone who's a ministry leader? What? It belongs to him. And if someone is offended that you're just jumping in, let them be offended and let God deal with them. Amen. Just as simple as that. Just as simple as that. But then on the flip side, there are some corporals in the world, in the church, right? That they're just barking out orders in their privileged assignment of leadership. Not themselves rolling up their sleeves, working alongside the people. If you fit this description, stop barking at the people and start rolling up your sleeves and working alongside them. Secondly, the scripture says to this, the harvest is plentiful and is ripe for harvest. Pray to the commander in chief that he may provide laborers for his harvest. When that falls short, guess what the commander in chief has already done? He's already come down to help. Case closed. In the person of the finished work of Jesus Christ and through the power of his Holy Spirit and the comforter that he left behind, he gives you every single thing you need to get the work done. So stop barking. Stop barking, right? Just as simple as that. Stop barking. Stop complaining. Build a wall. Know that the commander-in-chief is just simply waiting for you to say, hey, call on me. Right? The work is too crucial. Because the work helps reveal to a dying world the God in which we serve. The one who came in human flesh to die, live a perfect life, die a perfect death, be the first risen from the grave, so we all can have life and have life more abundantly ourselves. Amen.
Hello, my name is Sarah Vega, and I am the administrative and executive director here at Commitment Church. I hope you've enjoyed today's message by Pastor Cedric Brown. If you didn't know, Pastor Cedric also sends out encouraging videos weekly. We call these the Weekly Wire. The acronym WIRE means Weekly Inspiration, Refreshment, and Encouragement. We can send these encouraging videos directly to you by subscribing at www.loveallnations.org. Again, that's www.loveallnations.org. Here's an example of the encouragement you'll receive.
Hey everybody, this is Pastor Cedric with Commitment Church with another Weekly Wire. So I was thinking this week about my personal nature, and maybe you have a nature like mine. See, growing up the last of eight kids and also growing up in a place called Compton, California, by nature, listen, I'm a scrapper, especially when my back is against the wall. Listen, the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, they found themselves with their backs against the proverbial Red Sea wall. They had an option. They had an option to fight their way through it, or listen, even the option of fleeing back to Egypt. But it was interesting. Through the inspiration of the Spirit of God, Moses said to the children of Israel, hey, can you sit still? Can you wait and be still and keep silent so that the Lord will fight for you? I know that's a struggle with me. I don't know about a struggle with you. To sit and wait and let God fight for me? Yes, absolutely right. You know why? It's because as the children of Israel waited for God to fight for them, guess what happened? The Red Sea opened and they walked across on dry land. And I've seen that so many times in my life, I don't know about you, is that when I wait long enough, let God fight for me, and guess what he does? He opens my Red Seas and allows me to walk across on dry land. So the next time you get frustrated, the next time you want to fight or flee, when your back is against that proverbial wall, sit still, keep silent, and let the Lord fight for you as he opens your Red Seas.
We hope you enjoyed this sample of our Weekly Wire. Again, to subscribe to your weekly inspiration, refreshment, and encouragement, please visit www.loveallnations.org. Again, that's www.loveallnations.org.
Thank you for listening to Commitment to Truth, a teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. We hope you remain engaged in this series as our pastoral team teaches us that there are good works God has prepared for His children, while creating the space for those who respond to confidently walk in them. If you want to listen to the previous messages in this series, or if you want to hear messages from other series, visit Commitment Church on YouTube or Pastor Cedric Brown on Spotify, Pandora, or other podcast providers. You can also visit us on our website, commitmentchurch.org. And if you live in the Philadelphia, Delaware, or South Jersey area, we would love to see you in person as well. You can attend any of our services by visiting us at 2 Berlin Road South, Lindenwald, New Jersey, 08021. Thank you again for listening, and have a blessed and wonderful day.